Blog Talk Radio.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Kol Elohim. I'm your brother Ariel here at Bet Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. At Ibrit culture. At this juncture, we teach us Ibrit culture. That's what Abba has put on me, and that's what I've been given. Ibrit culture, to teach Ibrit culture. But we're going to continue in what he's been giving us for the first week. We're in the second week. The beast system, and how has it affected the children of Israel and the world, for that matter? Well, let's open up with a prayer first before we go any further. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom. Todah Abba Yah for opening up the Shabbat door for us, where we can come in and lay down our burdens in the Shabbat, Father. In your Shabbat, there is peace. In your Shabbat, there is no worry. In your Shabbat, there is no thinking about this world. If we take hold of it, if we allow ourselves to just dwell in the Shabbat and what it's for, to put down our burden. So we thank you, Abba Yah, for giving us a time, a period, a 24 hours to put down our burden, to say what the world will say, let go and let Yah. We thank you for that, Abba Yah. We want to thank you for just making it through another week. We want to thank you for making it through this unholy season that we just came out of, this unholy season. We thank you because we know in that unholy season, our God, our shield, our armor have to be upright within this season, Father, because the fiery darts will be shooting each and every way, Father. So we thank you for just coming out of it, Father, and with in that darkest season, you gave us an opportunity to rededicate ourselves in that. So we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for all those who take hold of your Shabbat, Father. We want to pray for all those who are ailing, Father, mentally, spiritually, physically, Father. Touch them, heal them, Father. Let them know that you said, told our forefather, Yaakov, go down in Egypt. Go down in this world system. I'm coming with you. I'll be there with you. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. And we ask you for forgiveness when we went to the left and the right, Father. We thank you, Father, for the Kohanim, those who have the burden of bringing forth your word, Father. We thank you for the Yaladi, the children, Father. We thank you for the Imas, Father. We thank you for the Ishas, Father, the moms, the wives, the husbands. We thank you for the whole house of Yisrael, Father, for choosing us, Father, for giving us your word, Father. We thank you for that, Father. There's so much to thank you for, Father. But the one and most important thing we thank you for, Father, for sending your son down here to die for us, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat. As a heritage, a remembrance of creation, blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank everybody for tuning in, and for those who will tune in, prayfully we got something out of it last week. Prayfully we're going to get something out of it this week. We're going to continue with the beast system. We in part one last week was the introduction of it, and we're just going to skim back through some things that we went through last week when we went and came to some understanding that the beast system is a collaboration of things. It's not just one thing that anybody can point at. There's the beast system. No, you can't do that. You have to look at it in its totality. And one could just sum it up. It's everything outside of the word of Yahweh is the beast system, period. You could sum it up like that. But we had come to find out and come to even with the understanding of that, within the word of Yahweh, there has been confusion. And let me give a disclaimer on that, because you know our brothers and sisters know the word of Yahweh will not confuse you, because Yahweh says he's not the author of confusion. But there have been, the word of Yahweh has been mishandled. And I'm going to say that again. It has been mishandled by those who have not been chosen by the Creator, who have not been chosen by Yahweh. So you come up with things as we just came out of an unholy season where they're using some scriptures, they're using some words to substantiate that this was the Mashiach's birthday or quote-unquote Messiah's birthday. They even use for Easter, for all these unholy things. But even our brothers and sisters that's in the Hebrew walk, the Israelite walk, have been misusing the scriptures, because we in the third day of this month, right? It is, yeah, I guess. We're in the third day. A couple of days ago, we supposed to have been out of here. Why? Because prior to that, last year before that, and a couple other years, there have been brothers and sisters rising up teaching the 400-year prophecy. We about to get up out of here. We about to be gone, because the 400-year prophecy is up. So that's when Abba did. We read it in Genesis and verse 3, and he talks about we in captivity for 400 years, and after that the people came out. Now, see, the confusion. And there was a question, I believe, with me and the brother we were talking online today, that I believe Brother Harvell, I know Rabbi asked him many a time before, over a many of false predictions of the word. false prophecies that have been put out. What happened to the mind of the people? What happened to the mind of the people when they are following these so-called leaders and they come to predict something and they come out wrong? And it's not what Abba said. Now, because I can hear somebody mind turn, and I hear hostile tongue working on them on the other side. I hear it. But what happens if y'all say something wrong, and y'all up there, and y'all in the pulpit, and y'all say something wrong, and it's wrong? What happens then? This is the difference. Sometimes men get into their own spirit, and they misspeak, or they speak within their own self. But when that happens, if you are a spokesperson for the Most High, he will correct you immediately. He will correct you. And here's the thing. If you are a true spokesperson for the Most High, you better get back up there and say, I was wrong. The Most High came and correct me, and you lead the people back on the right path. Why? Because human error gets involved at times. Human error, and we sometimes, as spokesperson for the Most High, we misspeak at times, and we get into ourselves. But because we serve a Most High that corrects us immediately, we as servants of the Most High have to make that mistake, have to go back and correct that mistake and where we have said something wrong. And that's what I love about where I have been for the last 20 years. It's been 20 years. Amen. For the last 20 years. And it doesn't matter which teacher did this, which Kohanim have did this. They've all said, hey, you know what? Abba came back and correct me, especially for my spiritual leaders, especially for them. And for me as a believer, being first and foremost a human being, understanding the frailties of a man within myself, see that my spiritual leader said he was wrong. Wow. And he came back and he corrected where he was wrong. That gave me more faith. Because he didn't say, you know what, follow me no matter what I say. No, he says, go behind me and check it out for yourself. But here's the question. How many of us are going behind? How many go behind? How many is just studying on their own? Or we just waiting for the Kohanim to get up there and teach? Which I know that's not a problem here in Bet Yahweh. Because one thing I do know about where Abba has brought up, the brothers and sisters here in this congregation, they study. They study that word. That's how they've been taught, to study the word, to not just take on blind faith what the minister says. Because the word says, study thyself, a workman need not to be ashamed. I know I didn't tore that up. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Go back and you study in your spare time. Okay, this is what the Kohanim brought up. Let me see how much in point he is. Oh, okay, I can agree with that. Then he's been led by the Ruach. He's been led by Abba. I can follow him. Oh, you don't follow no man. You're a liar. You don't understand scripture. Because Shaul said, Brother Paul said, follow me as I follow Mashiach. And we know Brother Shaul was a called and set apart man. Follow me as I follow Mashiach. As I follow Yahushua. So we do fold the follow, man. There is an order. Yahweh even said it in the prophets about following if you want to prosper. I forgot that one too. I believe it's in Second Chronicles 20:20. I believe. If somebody shoot me a text to let me know I'm sounding okay. I'm sorry. I'm been off for a minute, but I believe that's 2 Chronicles 20:20. Let me see. Let me look that up real quick. Well, First Chronicles 20:20. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact. And they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Yehuda. Todahaki. Hear me, O Yehuda, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Yahweh, your mighty one, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. Believe in those who have been sent to teach his word. Believe in those who the word, who howl the word of Yahweh. You shall prosper. You shall prosper." Why? Because they stand in the stead of Yahweh. They stand in his stead. And that's another way the world is just going straight off track. Why? Because they didn't heard the book of, read in the book of Joel, man, woman, and child shall prosper. Everybody shall be prophesied. But that's not the time yet. It ain't talking about now. Every man, woman shall be prophesied. Everybody going to know who he is. Because we in the time that everybody don't know who he is. And everybody is not prophesied. The order of Yahweh is still in effect. So that's another way how Hasatan has slipped in there and confused the word. Why? Because I got a college degree. Matter of fact, I got a doctorate in theology. Who are you to tell me about the word of Yahweh? Yes, I'm of the female persuasion. Who are you to tell me that I can't read this and I can't prophesy? Well, his word tell you that. That's what his word say. I'm not telling you that. That's been written over 2,000 years before me, you, and anybody else that you know been living on the planet. So his order is still here. But we talk about, see, all that falls under the beast system. All of that, the confusion of the word, falls under the beast system. Man, he wasn't supposed to go this way. I don't even know why I went this route, but maybe somebody needed to hear that tonight, and I would brought it out because I was supposed to be starting in 2 Corinthians 4:1 was my opening scripture. But I'm going to move on how to root out movement because that's what I pray for. Abba, you speak through me. You give the people what they need to hear because I don't know. I don't know what they need to hear. But I'm willing to be a vessel for you. So let's go to my opening scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:1-4. So this is going to be my opening mantra, opening scripture throughout this 6-week course that Abba has us on. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Elohim deceitfully. See, and there we go. We just talked about that. There are some ministers, there are some brothers and sisters out here, know that they are handling the word of Yah deceitfully. They know that. So you got to go back and you got to ask this question, Brother Shaul, why would you write that? What was going on in back in your day? He also said in another book that crafty men have crept in unaware. Crept in where? Crept in the ministry. Crept in the ways of Yah. So they can deceive people. They can deceive. And just right off top, I got to bring this out because this was came across my mind. Like, no, we're going to get into that later because I have an FBI report to read. We're going to read about that. We're going to get into that later. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let me finish this right here. Nor handling the word of Yah deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Elohim. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Mashiach, who is the image of Elohim, the image of Yah, should shine unto them. And Mashiach is Messiah in English. That's all. We're not going to use Christ here. We're going to go back. Like I said, I got to go back. We try to restore the names of the Bible. We try to restore the proper names of those who were the proper Hebrew, names. We try to restore them. That's what we do. But as we talked about last week, we talked about Hasatan being the chief ruler of this world. We talked about how he's the chief ruler of this world. We talked about these four beasts and how he has given his power, his seat to this beast system. And how on top of that, it says in Revelation, like we read it last week, how all the world has wandered after this beast. Have all the world, what is the beast? It's under the rulership of Satan. And we talked about the beast system again. You cannot point to one thing. You cannot go to this one thing and say, oh, yeah, that's it. What you can do is say everything outside of the word of Yahweh is the beast system. Everything. Not one thing. Every human being that does not accept this, every way of life that does not go according to the way of life that he has laid down is the beast system, and every human being that does not accept the way of life that he has laid down is a part of the beast system. And we can go to Revelation 18:4 to substantiate that, because even some of his people is caught up in the beast system. He said, come out of her, my people. Who is the her? The beast system. Which we can also label the ways of Satan, the ways of deceit, the ways of the adversary. He tell his people, come out of her, take not part of her sin. Come out of her, period. And that her is this way of life, this way of life that's outside of Torah, that's outside of Yahushua. Everything outside of that. And again, that introduction when Morpheus said to Neo, all I have to offer is truth. I'm not going to force it on you. You have to choose the truth. And when you get into the movie, that you, as a believer, we can't stress enough how perfect that movie shows what's happening to this world. We can't stress that enough. And I know if you're online and you never watched it, watch it with your third eye. Try not to look at it as much as entertainment. And that's when you know when you're coming out of the beast system, that's when you know when your mind is starting to change from this world system, because you're not looking at television or movies just to be looking at them. You're even hearing music, the deception. You're even hearing music, the mind manipulation. Because you are here, the truth that resonates within you start feeling a certain type of way against that music. Because, we all get caught up in the beats. I like rap. And the beats, especially if they got a nice thump to it, boom, and you get caught up. But once your mind settles down and you get off that rhythm of the beat and you start listening to the lyrics, you're like, oh, my God, I can't listen to that. All you're talking about is murder, killing, immortal, knowing somebody. I'm going to say that. I'm article sex. You know, everything that's against the righteousness of the Most High. But the thing is, me and my babies, we talk about, if all is going into your mind, what's happening to your psyche? If that's all you putting into your mind, that's it. What's happening to your psyche? Again, a part of the beast system. And we're going to get into it. We're going to get into it because we're going to say two words that will sum up the beast system. But then we're going to look up the definitions of these two words. But we got to go back right now to Daniel 7:25. Daniel 7:25, because we want to stay on that thought right there. Because there's a thought in Daniel 7:25 that we talked about last week, but we're going to continue with it this week. Give me a second. I'm here. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times, and dividing of times. So again, with that, he going to speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. We want to look up that word out. And again, for those who are listening, I'm in the King James today. I'm reading in the King James. I know I usually read in the WEBA, which I like, which is a better translation to me. And it is in your Hebrew Concordance, 1080, Aramaic corresponding to 1086, but used only in a mental sense to afflict. And that's where we want to get. That's where we want to get to. How or what method is Hasatan using the beast system? They're interchangeable. We should know and understand by now. If you say beast system, Satan system, the god of this world. So they're interchangeable. So if you hear me say the devil, you can also say the beast system. For those who may not be following that closely. In a mental sense. So you think about something going to wear these people out mentally. What happens to a person when they mentally broke down? I mean, just think of yourself, because this right here, and I'm wanting people to grasp it, to really get this, because it's always about their mind. It's always about their spirit. And it could be a little bit physical, but 99.9% of the time, it's the mind. By renewing your mind, that's what Yahweh says. Present yourself a living sacrifice. By renewing our mind, we have to renew our mind. So where are we renewing our mind from, and what has our mind, and what state is our mind in? And how often and how easy it is for our mind to get off track. As human beings, I'm going to tell you, it's easy, especially for this day and time. This day and time compared to when our forefathers walked the earth, and maybe Abraham's time, maybe in Jeremiah's time, maybe in Kepha's time, or even for those who was on the run. You know, we just went through a spirit of time. Abraham, Jeremiah, Kepha, Peter. Maybe even because Peter is the closest to our time, which is 2,000 years ago, is multiplied. Sins of man has multiplied a million times over. Satan has learned man much more than he had when Mashiach, when Yahushua walked the earth. He had 2,000 more years, probably at least 5,000 plus years to learn man in his desires. and his desires. And we remember what Yahweh said about man's desires. His thoughts are continually evil. So where are we at today? And if this entity, main priority is to break things down mentally. Because remember what Yahushua said to Kephal, Hasatan, Satan, wish to sift you like wheat. He was to break that mind down. Think of your own life. I just know things about my life. So when you think about how Hasatan is using and how he is coming at you, even in our down times, it's more so when we're down and we're feeling bad, he's even harder coming at us. He's coming at us harder. It's a mental thing. But we want to talk about these two words that Abba put on my mind yesterday. And I had to call my spiritual leader, Rabbi, because I was like, all right, Abba, I'm going this way. But every time I go this way, everything points back to you. No matter what, where I went, where did I look at the B system, everything points back to him. So, you know, I'm getting like, all right, Abba, which way you want me to go? So, you know, I had to talk to my spiritual leader, and he had to set some things in order because, he, like you said, half the time Satan don't know nothing. All he is a copycat. That's it. That is it. He's a copycat. All he has is the knowledge that Abba gave him, and he copycat off of Abba. So he helped me with that little off the track where I was going at, because and at the same time, I was excited because Abba was opening me up. But he said, no, I want you to stay right here. I don't want you to go over there just yet. I want you to stay right here. So I said, okay. He took me to these two words. These two words, I know, like, go ahead and say the two words. Stop talking. I enjoy when I was talking. I enjoy. If y'all don't, I pray you get there when you enjoy Abba talking. And the two words is social engineering. Social engineering. It was like a light bulb that popped up. Social engineering. That's how Hasatan is breaking down not just the minds of the world, but also the Israelites. More so, the social engineering is pointed to the Israelites. Now, we can go a multitude of ways with this social engineering. A multitude of ways. We can go from schooling. We can go from drugs. It's from homosexuality. And just to give an example of one way of social engineering, you know, again, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let me slow down. Matter of fact, let me just read the definition of social engineering. And listen, Shema to the definition. Listen. The use of a centralized planning in an attempt to manage social change and regulate the future development and behavior of a society. Now the Ruach should be running crazy. The spirit should be running through y'all. It should be jumping. It could have took your mind a million different ways. Just off of that definition right there alone, it could have took your spirit a million different ways. But again, we're going to go back to what we talked about last week. Hasatan, Satan, is the god of this world. He is. Let me read that again. The use of centralized planning, centralized a target, a center. They're trying to point to something, a planning, planning in an attempt to manage social change. So the course of this world, we had talked about this where I believe Brother Yaquiel brought out the course of this world, and it's on a course. So we can go back to the course of this world has started a long time ago. And we can go back to where that social engineering has started a long time ago. A long time ago. The social change and regulate. He want to control it. He want to control this change. The future development and behavior of a society, which I'm going to read the second definition to, in the context of information, security, the use of deception to manipulate individuals into divulging confidential or personal information that may be used to fraudulent purposes. As a believer, then that does not explode in your spirit right there, because you see half the time, you see Satan. We can read it. Matter of fact, let's go back to the very first person that he started with social engineering. And this is one of our brother Harvell's favorite right here. Going back to the garden. This individual, which we all know by now, and if you don't know, we're talking about Eve. We're talking about the situation that happened with her, was the very first one that was a social engineer. But here's the thing. Abba allowed it to happen. He allowed it to happen. And one of the first things that was brought out about this social engineering to manipulate her mind, to manipulate her thinking, he got her to doubt. He got her to doubt. And he not only got her to doubt, he got her to do something else. So let's read it. Let's read in Bereshit. Let's go to Bereshit, and that is 3:1-6. The social engineering and the very person, first person, who was used as a guinea pig. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have Elohim said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now see, for yourselves, can y'all hear the definition of social engineering? Can y'all hear those definitions that we brought out? But of the fruit of the tree, Genesis 3:3. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. What do you do? You just lie. And the serpent said unto the woman, you should not, that was the woman, excuse me. And the serpent said unto, matter of fact, she added, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Yah, for Elohim do know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He lied. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat of it. So what was the other thing that he did? He had her thinking that the Creator was holding something from her. Oh, he don't want you to be a god. So in her mind, was she reasoning, oh, that's why he's not telling me. That's why I can't eat that, because he don't want me to be a god. He don't want me to be on the same level that he's on. So I'm going to eat that. Because half the time, He just socially engineered her and to manipulate her to eat in that tree. Right there, the very first person that was socially engineered to do what? To set change, to have the future to go in a certain way. But here's another question. You always got to ask questions. Why did you allow that to happen? Why did you allow this right here, this whole act right here, to happen? Why would you allow the world to come in such discourse? Why do you, and these are the age-old questions of people, why do you allow so much murder, so much filth, so much discourse in this world? And how is it that you're going to plant a rose bush in the midst of this junkyard, so to speak? And we are the rose bushes, the children of Israel, those who believe in Yahweh. We are the rose bush in the middle of a junkyard. Now, I'm only saying it's a junkyard because what Yahweh showed us. Yahweh didn't come in to condemn the world. The world is already condemned, and we know what's in the junkyard. Nothing but condemned things. Why are we growing up in this condemned world? Why are you allowing that, Father? Why did the house of Tongue get the jump on us? And, you know, we didn't been there, done that. If you want to know, come to Shabbat. Come to service. And those questions are for those who do know. So we're going to deal with one of the definitions, behavior. We're going to go through all of them by the time this course out. Behavior. How is this going to be? How is Hasatan socially engineering? And what is he using the people to do against the children of Israel? It's a multitude of things we're going to get to, prayfully, by the six-week course, because we still got to get into why or how did the children of Israel lose their identity. And for those who know, you know where we're going at. And, but more importantly, why is it that these other people parading around as they are the true Israelites? And why is it that the world has such a hard time believing or looking at us as we are the true Israelites? What happened? Why is it that they can't accept that we are Israelites? Even if we don't say straight out our mouth, yeah, they are forefathers, but even if we walk around with deeps when we look, we get looked at as we farm. But that's only scripture. That's scripture. He said, you're going to be a wonder to the world. You know, he said that. People going to look at you, wonder why. Well, wow, look, that's a man black. Look, he wearing things that the Jews wear. What? Oh, he think he's Jewish. We all done heard that. And for our sister, oh, he Muslim. No, they Hebrews. Why won't you accept who we are? That social engineering. That social engineering, one of the first things that House of Time was doing is to get the people of the world to hate this people. To hate a people. You would think that, hold on, we would have sympathy. You would think that we would have people looking at us and say, man, they have been through a lot. Let's try to help them up. Let's try to build them up. Let's try to put them on the same level that we are. But it's not like that. It's not like that. And the question that I asked years ago, I mean, just why do all the races act like they don't like us? And this is a young man. I'm talking about a teenager. As a teenager, I asked that question. Why don't they like us? What in the world we have done to them? And we can go into Bereshit, which we were going to read in Bereshit, Genesis 43:32, that talks about how when Joseph took Benjamin and he set up a place for him to eat, and they talk about how the Egyptians looked at it as an abomination to eat with the Israelites. And how in 46:31, Genesis 46:31, 1-4, talks about how Joseph had to go to Pharaoh and explain to them that my people, they heard us. You know, they heard sheep and everything. So when you get here, Pharaoh going to ask you what's your occupation and tell them what you do. Because Egyptians look at herdsmen as an abomination. And you got to ask another question. Why did you have Moshe put that in there? Why in the world? And we know and understand what the Egyptians point to. The Egyptians point to the world. And Israel points to the children of the Most High. But why are we hated for being herdsmen? Why are we looked at in a low way for being herdsmen? Why the scripture says it is an abomination to be an herdsman? That's how the Egyptian looked at us. It's an abomination to be an herdsman. I mean, let that sink in for a little while. Because we can bring it up to date. I'm going to make you fisher of men, the same thing. See, like when he told Kepha, he asked Kepha, do you love me? Feed my sheep. She feed my sheep. Then he said, feed my lamb. Or the other way around. Herdsmen. Herdsmen. Why are the children of Israel or believers looked at as an abomination in this world system today? Why do people hate Yahweh's word today? And they don't just hate his word. They hate you for carrying his word, for being a light. Where is this social engineer? How has this been social engineered against the children of Israel? Against the children of Israel. Matter of fact, I did say I was going to read this book tonight, The Black Tax, because a couple of scriptures I did talk about, I didn't go through. I just paraphrased them because we want to stay on point. We want to stay with this thought, the social engineering first to hate the people of the book, to hate. I mean, you don't have to just read in Genesis. You can read in almost every captivity that Israel has been in. They were hated. They were hated. Every captivity Israel has been in, they were hated. And the question you have to ask is, why? Why is Israel so hated? What have Israel done to the world that they hate themselves? We're bringing up today. What have black people done to the world that they hate ourselves? We know and understand that because we done been through it. And there may be somebody on the line because we are the people. We are the chosen ones of the Most High. We are the chosen ones. But then a lot of people who dislike us don't even know why. Because they've been taught to them. It has been handed down to them. They see images of us. And all if the media show negative images of us, if that's all you're taking in of this people, this so-called black people, that's all you're going to feel about them. You're going to be afraid of them. It was so funny, a couple weeks ago, before I went on the trip, we was out of Randall Mills, and I'm walking down, and the white woman crushed our pocketbook. I laughed, right? I thought it was funny. So I grabbed my pocket. You know, I know I shouldn't do that, but I did. I grabbed my pocket like, hey, you got more clout in here than me. If you just say that I did something to you, I'm going up the creek. I'm going down there, and I'm going to have to get the best lawyers in the world, and they're going to have cameras that says, show that I didn't do nothing to you. And you snatched your pocketbook, and you clutched your pocketbook a little tighter. When I walk by, like, I'm going to snatch your pocketbook. And granted, we have put a negative image out there of ourselves. So I can't escape that. I can't let that go. That we did not put a negative image out there of ourselves. But we still got to say the media does that more than we do it. Because we are the ones that's sharing when we fighting on Facebook, we fighting on Instagram, when we doing all this Snapchat and all the other stuff, all this social media outlets. We are the ones sharing that. We are the men that's standing around filming women fighting. Grown men. And that irks me. I wish that the police take their phones. I ain't gonna tell you what I wish, but that irks me when I see grown men standing there, world star, it bothers my spirit so bad when you see that, when you're supposed to be breaking it up. No, sister, no, brothers. You really can't bring too much up with the brothers. You don't know, you might get shot. But then again, when you stand in the power, you ain't got to worry about none of that. You don't have to worry about that. Because when them brothers see you coming in love, Yahweh will move for you. Yahweh will move for you. Let's get into this book. It's called The Black Tax and the Cost of Being Black in America by Sean D. Rochester. We're just going to read a few pages out of it, not long, not real long. We're not going to be on real long. Black tax is an additional financial strain or heavy burden placed on Black Americans by people and institutions that have consciously and or unconsciously anti-Black biases. The key word here are conscious and unconscious. This tax is placed on Black Americans because of who their fellow citizens think they are, which is dominated by a host of a well-documented and unfounded negative stereotypes. what I just talked about. Not who they actually are. This tax greatly reduces Black Americans' ability to invest in new businesses, development, education, housing, employment, and other activities that lead to wealth and accumulation. Very often, the focus is placed on the moral implications of or the discomfort association with discrimination as opposed to the financial cost associated with it. Because the financial impact of a Black tax affects the wealth of Black Americans, it most occupies a place of primary importance. This is why I focus on the effect that this tax has and has had historically on wealth accumulation in the Black community. Another important question is, do Americans really harbor anti-Black sentiments? While we are somewhat familiar with the history of anti-Black bias in America, does it still exist today? If so, does it have a meaningful negative financial impact on Black America? In 2012, the Associated Press, working in conjunction with researchers from Stanford University, the University of Michigan, and the University of Chicago, conducted research to understand to what extent Americans have anti-Black biases and how that bias is associated with political affiliation. This question was likely of particular importance because in 2012, American first Black president was in the midst of re-election campaign, and the results might have shed some light on how the bias could play out in the election. The results of their research were quite interesting and showed that 51% of Americans expressed explicit, an anti-Black attitude, and 50% of Americans expressed implicit anti-Black attitudes. Republicans had the highest explicit and implicit anti-Black attitudes, 80% and 64% representatives. while 32% of Democrats expressed explicit and anti-black attitudes, almost twice as many, 55% expressed implicit anti-black attitudes. This means that Democrats harbor far more anti-black attitudes than they are consciously aware of. With independents in where was closer than 50-50, which to say roughly 50% of independents had explicit anti-black bias and 50% had implicit anti-black bias. Unfortunately, it appears that anti-black bias basically ranges from high to very high depending on the political affiliation. Now here's something in parentheses. Portions of America expressing explicit and black attitudes was 51% in 2012. Portions of Republican, 79% in 2012. Portions of Independent, 48% in 2012. Portions of Democrats, 32% in 2012. Portion of Americans expressing implicit anti-black attitudes was Republican, 64% in 2012. Portions of Independents, 49% in 2012. Portions of Democrats, 55% in 2012. Before we go any further, let's talk about what explicit and implicit bias are. Explicit means that some has been clearly expressed with no room for confusion, and you are fully aware of what was said or done. Bias is a systematic error in judgment. For instance, continually thinking a certain type of person is a criminal when they are no more likely to be a criminal than anyone else. Like the white lady that clutched the pocketbook when I walked past her. To determine a person's explicit bias, the researchers would ask that person their direct questions about race. For example, do you think that the impact of 250 years of slavery had a negative impact on the current position that black Americans are in today? That is clearly a question about race. An implicit bias refers to attitudes and or stereotypes that affect our understanding, actions, and decisions in an unconscious manner. It is bias you harbor in your unconscious mind that is not acceptable to you throughout introspection, and reflection. Because people are not aware of their implicit bias, researchers have developed clever ways to get an understanding of the presence of those biases. They might show their subjects pictures and or diagrams that have nothing to do with race and ask how they feel, positively or negatively, about the picture or diagram. But before they show the non-racial picture of it or diagram, they will randomly show the person a picture of a black male or a white male and then ask them how they feel about the non-racial diagram. It often turns out that people who have an anti-black bias feel more negatively about the picture. After seeing a black male and more positively about the diagram after seeing a white male. The researcher will do this over and over with different subjects and use statistical methods to figure out the level of bias across the sample. Think about it this way. They're asking people how they feel about a picture / diagram that has nothing to do with race, but their feelings are those images and are affected by their feelings toward the image of a black male or white male. That precedes the image that are actually focused on when their researchers in the Associated Press study completed their work, they found that almost 6 out of every 10 Americans had an anti-black attitude. Researchers at Harvard University have long studied the effects of implicit bias and created on an online implicit association test, the IAT, to measure bias attitudes and beliefs that people are unwillingly or unable to report. While taking an IAT for race, a person must categorize good and bad words with images of black and white people. The more quickly the person can associate positive words with the white or black people, the stronger the implicit preference for the group. The race IAT has been taken by over 3.3 million people between 2002 and 2015-20. And the researchers have found there that almost 70% of Americans have an implicit preference for white people over black people. The data also shows that only 2% of Americans have a strong implicit preference for black people. This is not surprising given the strong negative stereotype associated with black people in American society, coupled with a long history of several hundred years of intense racial discrimination. Considering this, the answer to the question, do Americans still harbor anti-black bias, is a resounding yes. The vast majority of Americans harbor high levels of both conscious and unconscious bias against African Americans, since we have that bias, implicit and explicit, can manifest themselves in the actions and decision making of those who hold them. The next logical step is to understand the extent to which these biases manifest as a tax on black Americans. And the brother goes through a bunch of studies where the Harvard and a couple other colleges have done. I mean, they touch everything under the sun. They touch real estate. They touch jobs. They touch schooling. They touch even in the professional field where, though, he found that they had did a test on if a black lawyer wrote an essay, and they deliberately showed where errors was in the essay, but they didn't say that a black person wrote it because it could have been a white person or a black person. So they would give it to a firm, and these are the black lawyer and the white lawyer, but they present it to the firm as it's a white lawyer. And the firm would have to go over it and correct the spelling and correct the errors within it. And they felt that when they thought it was a white person, that he may have gotten 85 or 90, and they would check less of the errors. But when the black person did it, he showed where though they may have got a failing grade and bad remarks, and they corrected almost every error in the essay that the black person did. But it wasn't a black person or a white person. It just was put to both to the firm. And it was a test where Harvard did, and I believe a couple of them. And it's a very good book because it breaks down statistics, and it goes back to slavery and how the cost of slavery and where would we be, even if they gave us the 40 acres and the mule. Very good book. If you want it, just let me know if you want to go through it. I don't mind lending it out. But very good book, and that's just to show even subconsciously, what we've been talking about, a behavior, something has been socially engineered against a people. How is it that you don't know that you have these feelings towards a people? So what's been happening for, let's say, we've been free for 150 years, let's give it 150 years. You know, 150 years, give it 150 years, we've been slaves. I believe it was in, 1863, 1864. I don't remember right offhand, but it was around that time that the quote-unquote Emancipation Proclamation had been signed by Abraham Lincoln, that is. So they've been harboring these feelings towards these people way before that, though. But we're talking about us in these days. All the way up this time, and there was no sympathy. There was no empathy. There was none of that for these people, for what they had been through. And another good book that you have to get to Dr. Joy DeGruy, where she brought out, and I wish I had that one, because she had some great points in that one. Some great points. And Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome was the name of her book. And she showed how I got the word right on my tongue. The word that she said, the psychological thing that they had to go through to put in their mindset, the slave owners, that is, that these people are nothing. These people are nothing. And I know Rabbi, he had sent it to us one time before, too. I'll get it for you, but next time I come on, I'll have that word. But again, something is being socially engineered against us. Me and Brother Yaki had a rabbi talk last night, and the thing that Abba was putting on my mind is, if we go back, if there's a people in Psalm 83 that's going to keep us down, that's going to take the name of Israel out of the earth to make us forget who we are. So as we are popping up into these, and that's what me and Dr. L was talking about, that there's somebody watching these people. We know how the family is watching. But we're talking about physical human beings that's watching these people rise up. Physical human beings. There's this guy that's on YouTube. His name is Vocab Malone. And he's going around. He got a campaign that's so hard against the Israelites, against those brothers and sisters. And more so against the camp. And, you know, that's another story, but he has a campaign that's so hard against proving that we are not the people. Even if we don't even say that's where we come from, that's our ancestors, but he has a hatred that we cannot be the people. If you get a chance, look him up. Vocab Malone, that's his name. I know Brother Mattia, you know, because we talked about him a couple of times before. He has a campaign against these people rising up. And again, some of us put on ourselves because we have Israelites out there that's crying the word of Yahweh and cussing people out at the same time. And how can you do that with giving, again, a bad light on the word of Yahweh, bringing confusion, bringing a discord with the word of Yahweh? We have our brothers and sisters doing that. But again, they have been socially engineered against. They have been deceived. Just like the white man, he has been deceived. He has been deceived that we cannot allow these people to ever come back and to know who they are. We cannot allow that. So trust and believe. Somebody has been watching the growth of Israelites. Trust and believe, somebody is listening to this congregation. Somebody is assigned to listen to our teaching. Somebody is assigned. But we know that. We understand that. We're not afraid of that. Because when it's time to move, Yahweh going to move us. And ain't nothing they going to be able to do about it. Nothing. But that was a thought that came yesterday to me and Brother Yacho. I was talking like, somebody watching us. Somebody watching the rise of the Israelites. And we brought out that homo, Diego Hoover. We brought him out because way back in the 50s and the 60s, he had put into law, do not allow the rise of a black Messiah. Somebody been talking, somebody been watching these people for thousands of years. And that's why we're going to get into, there is a campaign to keep us blind, to keep us deaf, dumb. And we're talking about that social engineering. But we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty where, though, somebody know who we are, and somebody is engineering that we cannot never let these people come. And the way Abba has given me that thought is when we went through the book of Maccabees and we saw the power when they fought together, this little group of people, when they fought together, and when they fought under the banner of Yahweh, and how Yahweh sent Malachi, trust and believe, the Vatican, they got those down there now. They got those written, those stories written. They got that. Because last week, our brother, they was walking out the temple, and they had murals of pictures of them walking out the temple with our stuff. Trust and believe that we removed the three years, maybe 100 years, for those battles with our brother Judah Maccabee, the hammer. So they know what happened, and they understood then we can never, ever allow these people, ever allow these people to come and be a nation again. If we want total dominance on this world, we can never let these people come into the full understanding of who they are. But that's prophesied, because the prophecy says that we're going to come to know who we are. He said in the book of Baruch, I believe Baruch 3:4, in your captivity, we're going to come to know. You're going to turn from your wicked ways and turn back to me. In your captivity, he said Ezekiel talks about these dry bones that's going to come back together. They know this. So it has to be something strategically. It has to be a war set against these people. And we don't even know and understand that. We have no clue. We bickering and fighting amongst one another. We have no clue that the war, the campaign that's going against us. And it ain't just a couple nations that know about it. Read Psalms 83. It's a lot of nations that know about this. The secret identity of these people. And, you know, I got to talk about the secret identity. I got to talk about that we are Hebrew Israelites. So that's this show. But more importantly, that's word. That's word. Because our word said these people is going to come back to him. But we're not excluding nobody else. But the natural born Israelites are going to come back. We're not excluding nobody else. We're not saying that you can't come and be a part of it. Sure, you can come and be a part of it. And you are no longer looked at as a Gentile. You shouldn't be. You are looked at as a natural born Israelite. But the natural born Israelite shall come back. Shall come back. Has to come back because that's prophecy. We read in Revelation, I believe Revelation 7, when it talks about 144,000. 12 from each tribe. 12,000 from each tribe. We cannot deny that. We cannot deny that 12,000 from each tribe is coming back as word. And you know, I ain't trying to deny it. I ain't trying to fight it. I'm just going to teach what the word says. But somebody is watching us. Let's get into this FBI. We're not going to be long in that either. This FBI article that got leaked. And this is The Intercept. Has anybody ever heard of this newspaper? It's called The Intercept. The FBI spends a lot of time spying on black Americans. But you think COINTELPRO has stopped with Martin Luther King and Malcolm X? They already got Farrakhan in their pocket. And I'm sorry if you're a Farrakhan believer. He's in their pocket. He's not teaching true liberation for the quote-unquote black man. True liberation is not going up here marching on Washington. That's not true liberation. true liberation for us is turn back to Abba, turn back to the Torah. That's true liberation. We read, and I believe with Brother Yahya, when he read this in the book of Judah, and I believe it was King Nebuchadnezzar and his general to go and attack Israel in the book of Judah. And he got all these nations that was there with Israel, that was surrounding nations of Israel. And he got one of the, I believe it was an Amorite man, I believe an Amorite. And they pulled him, asked him to the general. And so he had a couple of nations, the Amorites, a couple other nations. I can't remember the other, but I do remember the Amorite that he asked. And all the other nations were saying, oh, yeah, we can get Israel. We got them. No problem. And this guy started to speak because he asked him, how can we get them? Because they was in a secluded spot. And there was no way they can get up there. But he wanted to, how can we get the advantage of these people? And the Amorites started laying down. He started going through the Hebrew Israelite history. So that means he'd been watching. He started running down our history. And he said he had to come to the conclusion, the only way that you're going to get these people to fall, you get them to start sinning against their Most High. You get them to sin against their Mighty One. That is the only way you're going to get them. You're going to get the best of them. Because if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, there's nobody on the face of the planet can do anything with them. Nobody. Nobody. You know that story of the 300? They stole that. It was 300 Hebrew Israelite men against 30,000 of the Philistines and beat them. He ran down the history of Israel. If they, the only way you're going to get them, if you get them to sin against their Most High. But if they doing right, you can kiss a goodbye. You might as well go ahead and pack your stuff up and go home and tell Nebuchadnezzar, you know, we ain't going to be able to beat them. We are not going to be able to beat them. So they watching us. They can't allow us to come back into our right mindset. They cannot allow that. And I'll put it to the test. Let's just get on one accord. And I'm talking to Bet Yahweh, if we just get on one accord, we will turn it upside down. Because Abba don't need everybody. He just needed one to get on one accord. We will turn it upside down. One accord. We come to that. Let's trust Abba and what he's doing. And trust in him and trust in the men that he set up there. Trust him that they live for Abba. They die for Abba. We do that. We set it on fire. We set it on fire. And we'll see where we have new members popping up. Not because they want to belong, because they come in to spy. They come in to see which way we're moving. But they won't be, they'll be known. I would say, there's no device that Satan can do to y'all that y'all not going to know. We're not ignorant of his devices. So let's come to that one accord and let's test Abba. Abba, we doing what you say to do, and we all in one accord. We need you to come through and show that power. Let's test them. Let's get on that one accord. Let's get on that one accord. Let's test them. I guarantee you that power will be shown. I guarantee you. So let me look and read this. FBI. The FBI spends a lot of time, and I'm not going to read all of it. This is a very long article on Black Americans. The FBI has come under intense criticism after 2017. A leak exposed that its counterterrorism division has invented a new unfounded domestic terrorism category, and it's called the Black Identity Extremist. Black, and then they could be, yo, that's one I'm right there talking now. That's a Black Identity Extremist. He worried about the Hebrew Israelites. He worried about his people. So was Yahushua. And they probably had the same little term group that they invented against him, which was called the Pharisees. No different than the death. They just call FBI today. Since then, legislators have pursued the bureau's leadership to be more transparent about its investigation of black activists, and a number of civil rights groups have filed public record requests to try to better understand who exactly the FBI is investigating under that designation. Although the bureau has released hundreds of pages of documents, it continues to shield the vast majority of those records from the public scrutiny. The sheer volume of documents those surveillance efforts have produced is troublesome, advocates say. The latest batch of FBI documents obtained by the American Civil Liberties Union and the racial justice group Media Justice and shared with The Intercept reveals that between 2015 and 2018, the FBI dedicated considerable time and resources to open a series of assessments into the activists of individuals and groups mostly led by black separatist extremists. And they're not going to say it, but read between the lines. Let's talk about the Hebrew Israelites. They're not going to come out and outright say it in this document, because I read the whole thing. It's talking about the black Hebrew Israelites. We cannot allow that to move. And yes, L. Angry Cousins is out at the forefront. If you Google him, may the first one pop up. Good. But I will keep us under the radar for now. This designation was even eventually folded into the category of black identity extremists. Earlier this year, following an onslaught of criticism from elected officials, civil liberties advocates, and even some law enforcement groups, the FBI claimed that it had abandoned the black identity extremist label, submitting it for a racially motivated violent extremist. Critics say that this designation conveniently obscures the fact that black supremacist violence, unlike white supremacist violence, does not actually exist. Although the FBI has frequently changed its label and terminology, the surveillance of black Americans has continued, as The Intercept has reported following the killing of Michael Brown by a police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. The FBI began spying on Ferguson activists and tracking their movements across the state, warning local law enforcement partners that Islamic State group supporters were urging protesters into joining their ranks. The FBI also drafted a mysterious race paper, the contents of which remained secret even though the bureau has disowned it. And as the Young Turks reported, the bureau has established a program dubbed Iron Fist, targeting so-called black identity extremists with undercover agents. The latest documents was turned over to the ALC, the ACLU, and Media Justice after the group sued the FBI last month over its failure to comply with a public records request. While the bureau is expected to release more documents in the coming months, what it has turned over so far is so heavily radicated that it is largely incomprehensible. In addition to removing entire paragraphs and all geographical and other identities from the documents, the FBI simply withheld hundreds of papers in full. These documents suggest that since at least 2016, the FBI was engaged in in a national intelligence collection effort to manufacture a so-called black identity extremist threat. No threat, Chahogan, deputy director of the ACLU racial justice program, told The Intercept that they are spending a lot of energy on this and they are clearly reaching out to the other law enforcement. We are troubled about the fact that so much information is not being made available to the public, she added. We just know that the government is likely to eradicate information that should be disclosed to the public. It frequently does. A bill spokesperson wrote to The Intercept in a statement that every actively that the FBI conducts must uphold the Constitution and be carried out in accordance with federal law. Investigation activity may not be based solely in the exercise of rights granted by the First Amendment. The spokesperson added, the FBI investigation methods are subject to multiple layers of oversight, and we ensure that our personnel are trained on privacy, civil rights, and civil liberties. Most of the new releases documents are investigated files that show the FBI has opened up a number of what the Bureau guidelines refer to as assessment, primarily into the activities of individuals it called black separatist extremists. Assessment differ from full-blown investigation or a predicated investigation. In the Bureau lingo, because they do not need to be predicated on a factual bias. That means the Bureau needs no evidence of criminal or national security threat in order to open up an assessment. Assessment need only to be authorized for a specific purpose, such as recruiting new informants. Y'all hear that? A new report by the civil liberty group Defending Rights and Distant Notes. When choosing targets for an assessment, agents are allowed to use ethnicity, religion, or speech protected by the First Amendment as a factor, as long as it is not the only one. As the report notes, even though the standards for opening an assessment are extraordinarily low, the FBI is allowed to use extremely intrusive investigation techniques in performing them, including physical surveillance, use of information, informants, and pretextual interviews. During pretextual interviews, FBI agents are not required to disclose their status as federal officers and can lie about the purpose of the interview in order to, explicit incriminating statements. I haven't told that when I was speaking to them. Incriminating agents can open an assessment without a supervisor approval for a period of 30 days, after which a supervisor must sign off an extensive after 90 days. An assessment must be reauthorized. Assessment can be reauthorized an unlimited number of times, which means that the FBI can surveil law-abiding citizens posing no national security threat for years. And those are things that we have to deal with, family, that we do not even know. Again, what we talk about, social engineering, these things that's happening to us that we have no clue. But some of us do, because some of us got our eyes open. Some of us allowing the rock to allow us to see. Because for the most part, they will put it in the movie. they put everything that they're doing in movies. But again, we got to be looking at these movies not just for entertainment, not these television shows just ain't popping up just for no reason. Every television show, every movie got to go through the CIA, got to go through the national security, so they won't allow too much information out. Too much information. But we want to end with the scripture that I had, and that's Romans 8, because we're coming to an end of this one. But it's so much more, because when we get into this social engineering, how have that affected the children of Israel? How have the beast system affected the children of Israel? And not just Israel, the whole world. But again, we talked about it last week, the rest of the world is just collateral damage. If I can get Israel caught up, the rest of the world, and even those people who's coming in to join Israel, I'm going to keep saying that to you. Because we're not here to exclude nobody. Everybody is offered. Salvation is open to everybody. But you've got to come the way of Israel. You've got to join Israel. Can't come no other way. And we're going to our Romans 8. Eight thirty one, that's my closing scripture. What shall we say then to these things? You know, and to everything we just talked about. Everything from beginning to end. What, this is a question Brother Shaw was asking today. What shall we say then to these things? Everything we just heard. If Yah before us, who can be against us? And again, they know that. They know that about us. They know if Almighty One is with us, ain't nothing, nobody on the face of the planet. Satan, know who know it the most? Satan know it. The devil know it. So he is the number one campaigner of getting these people off track. He knows that. You know he has no power against them. Ain't nothing we can do once we do what we're supposed to do. Once we get a part, unity, become one. You know that. Even to go back to the FBI thing, and we know that one of the people that I used to watch when I first came in, before I came to Beth Yahweh, I used to watch a guy named Brother Wise and those down, they was on Liberty Street, I believe, that's Liberty Street. They was down there for Cathedral, one of the streets downtown, before they where they are today, which the Israelite Church in J.C., which that should be a real flag for Israelite. I used to watch them praise and watch this young brother come up through the ranks named, I believe his name is Kazar, and come to find out through some other Israelites that I know that the reason why they called him a comforter, which we call him a quilt. There ain't no comforter around here. We don't believe that. Kazar, I believe that's the name. I don't know his name. And you have to come to understand that last year the brother got raided. It's, I believe it's 125th Street up in New York, where the headquarters of the Israelite Church in J.C. And they raided him, but come to find out, those who was there and left, that the FBI had pulled him up at least 15 years ago to say that, hey, brother, if you continue to teach Jesus, you'll rise to stardom. You'll rise in the ranks, in the Hebrew Israelite ranks. So, they had him, and after a while, Satan going to get the, hey, these brothers ain't teaching that. Ain't nobody listening to that. And the only ones that's listening to them is the radical ones, but they're not really having a led by the Ruach. But I've got those ones that's led by the Ruach. We're hidden right now. and he knows what he's on, and I'm going to follow him. And I just wanted to get that out because we have an example of, or we have proof that the FBI have penetrated within the Israelite ranks. And who knows how many others around the world that's rising up where they have not been infiltrated. They have not been infiltrated. So I like how we do at our congregation. I like how we got to test you first. You know, we got to test that spirit that's on you for you. We just can't allow you to come in there. We got to test you. Got to. We don't know. But we will be shown eventually where your spirit belongs, if you belong me or not. But that's the end of the today's lesson, family. I didn't want to be that long, but I'm going to move as Abba moved me. So let me close up with the ending. The ending, Jackson. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to the owner. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who bless Yisrael with shalom. Hallelujah. Thank you once again, Abba Yah, for allowing me to teach your word, for allowing me to be a puppet for you, for allowing me just to enjoy your word, Father. Thank you. I appreciate that. I want to ask you again that you touch all Israel, Father, those who are ailing right now, Father, those who may be in their spirit, Father, those who may be ailing in their mind, those who are being attacked by Hasatan. Let us know that, Father, we have the power over him, Father. And those who are weak, Father, let them reach out to one another, Father. Let them reach out and call a brother, call a sister, Father. Or put it on the brother and sister heart to call somebody they haven't heard from in a while, Father. Put it on somebody's heart, Father, to reach out, Father. But we want to be healers to one another, Father. We want to be a card, Father. We need all our brothers and sisters, Father. It's right that we are engaged in on a constant and a daily, Father. We need your Ruah, Father, to protect us, Father. We need your Ruah to be within us strong and fully, Father, so we know that we are your battle axe, Father, as you said in your word, Father. Father, I'm asking, pray for the Kohenim that got to bring out your word tomorrow, Brother Harav, Brother Yahweh, Father. May you come through them, Father, as a mighty sword, Father. As a mighty sword, Father. Come to them, Father, and as a petal that falls off his flower softly, Father. May the ground that the word fall on, may it be fertile, Father. May you, your rock, open that ground up, Father. May they receive your word that your Kohenim is going to bring out tomorrow, Father. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen.
He that know the right and do it wrong shall be spanked with many stripes. When the heathen come, your children step wise. Even though they make mention of them and those,
firebird
never befriend.
Firebird,
you know why? You know why? Yes, them of the heart of a pagan. Your children of the heart of a lion. I know. People are moved with Satan. Righteous shod in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them have the heart of demons. The children have the heart of a lion. I know. People are moved with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see that they run down left mommy. We struggle the hard road with fight beginning. Our I see baby has been baby. Nothing that happened now do not seem to amaze way. We know that is the fulfillment. no bills, school is church and penitentiary. Church, church, then the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me. Listen, you check you and me check me. And let's bring more love in our the black community. Them are the heart of a pagan. The children of the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One, no. Them are the heart of demons. The children of the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Respect the father of the prophet Moses and Abraham. You have to respect the father of Jacob and Solomon. Respect the creator of many nations. He made the birds, he made the beasts, the fishes of the ocean. And fastened them together with his mighty. And he made the man, he made woman, children, the future of the land. So who is you to disrespect the creator, man? 72 nations bow down and crown him conquering one. It will be beautiful in the sight of God, the Holy One, to see the unification of my nation. Them have the heart of a pagan.
Watch that.
The children have the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty
every time,
One. Them have the heart of demons. The children have the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see daddy run gone left mommy to struggle the hard road with five bikini. Our I see baby having baby. Nothing that happened no do not seem to amaze we. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them not build school is church and penitentiary. Church to church, dead the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me. Believe me, them are the heart of a pagan. The children of the heart of a lion, I know.